Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter Number 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. We're going to read texts 59 and 60, but 60 is on the board. So let's read 59 first.
Yama etad upakyaya tatraivantara diyatam gyatayohi siyagyasya chakruyat samparayikam.
After instructing all the foolish relatives of Suyagya, Yamaraj, in the form of a boy, disappeared from their vision. Then the relatives of King Suyagya performed the ritualistic funeral ceremonies. Text number 60.
Atha shochatamayuyam param chatmanam eva va ka atma ka parovatra siya parakya eva va svapara binivesena vinagyanena dehinam atasho chatamashu yuyam param chatmanam eva va ka atmaka parovatra sviya parakya eva va svapara viniveshena vinagyanena dehinam atasho chatamayuyam param chatmanam eva va ka atmaka parovatra sviya parakya eva va svapara viniveshena vinagyanena dehinam.
Would any ladies like to chant?
Please repeat. Ataha.
Therefore, shochata, lament for, ma, do not, yuyam, all of you, param, another, cha, and, atmanam, yourself, eva, certainly, va, or, kaha, who, atma, self, ka, who, para, other, va, or, atra, in this material world, svya, one's own, parakya, for others, eva, indeed, va, or, svapara abhivinineshena, consisting of absorption in the bodily concept of oneself and others, vina, besides, agyanena, the lack of knowledge, dehinam, of all the embodied living entities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. This is Hiranyakashipu speaking, by the way. Therefore, none of you should be aggrieved for the loss of the body, whether your own or those of others. Only in ignorance does one make bodily distinctions, thinking, who am I? Who are the others? What is mine? What is for others? Purport. In this material world, the conception of self-preservation is the first law of nature. According to this conception, one should be interested in his personal safety and should then consider society, friendship, love, nationality, community, and so on, which have all developed because of the bodily conception of life and a lack of knowledge of the spirit soul. This is called ajnana. As long as human society is in darkness and ignorance, men will continue to make huge arrangements in the bodily conception of life. This is described by Prahlad Maharaj as bharam. In the materialistic conception, modern civilization makes enormous arrangements for huge roads, houses, mills, and factories, and this is man's conception of the advancement of civilization. People do not know, however, that at any time they themselves may be kicked out of the scene and forced to accept bodies that have nothing to do with these enormous houses, palaces, roads, and automobiles. Therefore, when Arjuna was thinking in terms of his bodily relationships with his kinsmen, Krishna immediately chastised him, saying, Kutastva kasmalam idam vishame samupastitam anarya justam. This bodily conception of life is befitting the anaryas, the non-Aryans, who are not advanced in knowledge. An Aryan civilization is a civilization advanced in spiritual knowledge. Not merely by stamping oneself an Aryan does one become an Aryan. To keep oneself in the deepest darkness concerning spiritual knowledge and at the same time claim to be an Aryan is a non-Aryan position. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya quotes as follows from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Ka atma ka par iti dehad apekshaya nahi dehadir atmasyan natchashatrur idirita ato dahi kvidova kshayeva kim prayojanam yasti deha kato jiva sahinasham nagachati tatashatru vividau cha svanashe shochanam kuta dehadi vyaktiriktau tu jivesho pratijanata at atma vividistu vasudeve rati stira shatru nashastata jnana nashonanya katanchana. The purport is that as long as we are in this human form of body, our duty is to understand the soul within the body. The body is not the self. We are different from the body, and therefore there is no question of friends, enemies, or responsibilities in terms of the bodily conception of life. One should not be very anxious about the body's changing from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to old age, and then to apparent annihilation. Rather, one should be very seriously concerned about the soul within the body and how to release the soul from the material clutches. The living entity within the body is never annihilated. Therefore, one should surely know that whether one has many friends or many enemies, his friends cannot help him, and his enemies cannot do him any harm. One should know that he is a spirit soul, aham brahmasmi, and that the constitutional position of the soul is unaffected by the changes of the body. In all circumstances, everyone, as a spirit soul, must be a devotee of Lord Vishnu and should not be concerned with bodily relationships, whether with friends or with enemies. One should know that neither we, ourselves, nor our enemies in the bodily conception of life are ever killed. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing from Sri Hiranyakashipu, as the previous verses says, all about Atma Tattva, the nature of the body and the soul. And Hiranyakashipu is a demon. Well, he's, as we all know, he's actually a devotee playing the role of a demon. And so although he has Atma Tattva, knowledge of the difference between the body and the soul, as this whole story has been describing, and although he's advising his family not to lament for the death of his brother, still he's not familiar with the culture of devotional service. At no point in this discussion is he going to tell his family that therefore we should be devotees of Lord Vishnu. And so he's absolutely right to say that this sort of lamentation in regards to the body is just useless. It's futile. In the previous verses, we heard from Yamaraj in the form of a boy saying that, you know, you're lamenting for the death of your husband, Suyagya, but that lamentation isn't changing anything. And you may hanker and desire for something else in this world, but that hankering and desire hardly has any effect on whether or not that desire is satisfied. That's the law of karma. And in Krishna says it even more, he says in a very poetic way in the Bhagavad Gita, about this hankering and this lamentation that we experience in this world. He says, Asha Pasha Shatayar Bhadha. The living entity in this world is bound up by a network of hopes and desires. It becomes bound by it, you know, like a fish is caught in a net. This network that he's built for himself. And that's what's really lamentable, is that a person thinks that by investing their lamentation and their hankering in the such temporary, ephemeral things of this material world, that it's going to make any difference, as Prabhupada's saying in this purport. You know, they consider advancement of modern civilization, have such huge roads and houses and mills and factories, but they have no idea that at any moment they'll be kicked out of the scene and have nothing to do with these enormous houses, palaces, roads, and automobiles. That's what's really lamentable. That persons are investing so much desire, so much lamentation in such temporary and futile things. And so, actually, it reminds me of a story that happened to a devotee and myself about how the lamentation for this body is really just futile, how it really means practically nothing. It's a story about a devotee. I don't think he would mind me telling it, but I won't use his name anyway. But myself and this devotee were out on door-to-door sankirtan, book distribution, in Huntly, New Zealand. Anyone who's ever been to Huntly will know it's kind of like the Hollister of New Zealand. It's a real gang place, you know. It's a real tough town, actually. And we were out there, and this devotee likes to, you know, go in the traditional garments and whatnot. So we're out there in this really rough neighborhood distributing books door to door. Long story short, we were like separate parts of a street. And some little kids come up to me and they say, hey, your friend's being arrested. You better go down the street and check him out. I guess they could tell because we were all dressed up the same. I go down to the end of the street and just as, you know, the police cars are pulling away, and I'm like, what's going on here? And some gangster fellow had beaten him up. I don't know what had happened. He came to the door. I guess this guy didn't really like him so much. He was really nasty-looking chap, you know, tattoos from head to toe, like even on his, when they get those tattoos on their eyebrows and all sorts of things, a really scary-looking guy. So much so that even as I walked up the driveway to this house to find out what was happening, and there's a few policemen still there, this guy starts coming at me, you know. And the policeman had to hold him back. That's how, like, wild it is. Anyway, they told me to go down to the station and hear the rest of the story. So I go down there. Turns out he wasn't arrested. It was just this guy beat him up, and the police were the first to respond. And he got thrown around, and, you know, his face was a little bit bloodied up, and his shoulder was dislocated, and so many things. And so we had to drive to the hospital in Hamilton, which is like an hour away. So we all got in the ambulance, and we drove down there. And trying to make a long story even shorter, we were in this hospital, in this room, and they're putting him on the table. and a couple of doctors and nurses are around, and they're going to pop the shoulder back in. But they decide to gas him first, give him, anesthesia. Which is a little bit funny, but unrelated, because, he's a very pure and clean Vaishnava. He doesn't have much resistance to the influence of particular drugs. So they put this gas mask on him. They told him to count back from 10. Say, okay, count backwards from 10, and then he's supposed to go under. And he goes, 10, completely out, just like that. Only took him a second, which is a symptom of his purity. That's the reason I'm mentioning it. Anyway, so he's unconscious, and these like nurses and doctors are getting in position. They're going to pop his shoulder back in, and I'm sitting there watching. I say, hey, doctor, is this going to hurt? And the doctor says, no, he won't feel a thing. I go, cool. So I'm just sitting there chanting, I'm in this room. And it's a kind of a hospital. It wasn't like emergency room, so there's like hallways and it's open and there's people in the various reception areas. He says, no, it's not going to hurt. So they're all getting into place and whatnot. And he's like, okay, ready, go. And they pop it in. And he goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And he goes completely unconscious again. And of course, all these people in the reception, they're like coming in, peeking in the door. And what's going on in here? Having a Harinam in the hospital. And so they finish the job, and I say, hey, doctor, what gives, You said it wasn't going to hurt. And he said, oh, what I meant is he's not going to remember feeling anything. That's what I meant to say. Is that right, doc? He's not going to remember feeling anything. And true enough, when he came to, I asked him, hey, how did it feel? He said, well, how did what feel? I'm a bit sore now, but he didn't even know that he jumped up and that he was screaming Hare Krishna, which is a good sign. So it's kind of a comical story, but it's like that. Whatever we're lamenting for, whatever we're attached to in regards to this body, because this body is composed of ignorance. We sing Sharira Avidya Jal. It's made of ignorance. It means we're just going to forget. If not in this lifetime, then in the next lifetime. So that's what's lamentable, to be lamenting for and so attached to something that you're inevitably going to forget. Now, the problem we have with this, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but the problem we have with this is this paints a really bleak sort of image of Krishna consciousness. It sounds a little bit uninspiring that we just kind of tolerate, we just put up with it, Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, just tolerate Prabhu's. We'll just tolerate the pushes of this body, and then we'll just die, right? And somehow go back to Goloka Vrindavan. We just tolerate. As if Goloka Vrindavan is filled up with tapasvis, yogis who perform austerities and sacrifices. No, that's kind of a misconception, actually, because bhakti is a heart-opening experience. It's not just some sort of rigid response to a frustrated material existence, but it's the process of opening the heart, experiencing the cultivation of devotion and attachment to the Lord, learning how to hanker and lament for the Lord's service, ultimately, as the fair replacement for hankering and lamenting for this material body. So we need to learn how to hanker and lament for Krishna's service, experience that. And we have that opportunity by following in the footsteps of the Lord's devotees. When we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, when we're chanting the prayers of our previous acharyas, the bhajans of our previous acharyas, they're showing us how to be attached to the Lord's service, how to feel for the Lord's service. And there's just unlimited sort of examples we can give. It's just the only difficulty is picking which sort of verses to use as examples. But in the interest of time, we can look at the archetype of lamentation set for us by one of our previous acharyas, an expert lamenter, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who's actually one of our gurus in our line of disciplic succession. And Narottam Das Thakur, in his bhajans, he's demonstrated this hankering and lamentation for the Lord's service in a way which is comprehensible to those of us in the bodily concept of life. It's not just something for the liberated platform. He's singing in his songs. How's that one? Hari Hari Bifalehi Janama Gonayainu
Manushya jana mahapaya Radha Krishna nabhajiya Janiya shuniya Bishakoinu.
He's singing, "Oh Hari." He says, "I'm so unfortunate." This is his lamentation. "I've attained this human form of life, and yet because I have not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I might as well have just been drinking poison." This is what he's saying. What is the value of my existence if I'm failing to worship Radha and Krishna? This is a real lamentation that every devotee can experience. We want to do so much service for the Lord, but we have the limitations of this physical body. You know, we can only chant so much before you have to stop and eat and rest or something. This is the sort of lamentation that one can be experiencing, that I'm not doing enough for Krishna. I'm not serving enough. I'm not devotional enough. And so Narottam Das Thakur is demonstrating to us what that feeling looks like, what it sounds like. That's his lamentation. He describes the mood of hankering as well.
Oh, excuse me.
A very famous bhajan. He says, Goranga bolite habe pulaka shariraham Hari hari bolite nayane babe niram. This is his hankering. This is his strong desire. He's saying, kabe in the Bengali means when. When is that day going to come when I chant Lord Chaitanya's name, Goranga, that I experience, you know, shivering of the body, tears flowing from my eyes, real attachment, real love. When is that day going to come? He's hankering for it. That whole song, practically every verse, uses this word, kabe, when. When is it going to happen that Lord Nityananda will be merciful unto me so that all my material desires are ending? When will I be attached to studying the books of the six Goswamis so then I can understand Vrindavan and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna? When is that going to come? This is a strong desire on the part of a pure devotee. And yet, they're demonstrating to us how we can experience that attachment as well, and that lamentation on the part of the Lord. Lamentation for the Lord's service. So it's not like it's faking it to recite the prayers composed by the Lord's pure devotees of hankering and lamentation, of strong desire. It's not like it's faking it to chant Hare Krishna. I say that because sometimes, you know, devotees, we get this impression that, you know, if I'm not really feeling it, then what's the point? If I don't feel it, you know, what should I do? Should I just fake it? Sometimes that phrase comes up. I don't know if it circulates around New Dwarka Dham, but in other places we've heard, fake it till you make it. Anyone's heard that one? It is cute, but it's not faking it to chant Hare Krishna and to recite these prayers, these bhajans, these shlokas, which are saturated with devotion. Because what we're doing is we're following in the footsteps of the Lord's pure devotees. We're following in their footsteps by their grace. And by the grace of the Lord, those sentiments of attachment, of desire, and even of lamentation will re-manifest. It's actually already there in the heart. This is what Lord Chaitanya teaches to, I think it was to Rupa Goswami. He says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanari Shudichite Korea Udoi. He said, actually, this pure love for Krishna, it's already there in the heart. It's not like we're trying to acquire it from some external location or learn it like a trick or fake it till you make it. It's already there. It's in the heart. And those original sentiments will become re-manifest if we, you know, humbly and submissively follow in the footsteps of these devotees who have demonstrated for us those genuine attachments for the Lord's service. So it's not something that's added from without. It's just a matter of properly hearing and chanting. Shravanadi shudichite korya adoya. Shravanadi. In Sanskrit, adi, a little bit of a Sanskrit grammar class here. Adi means, it's kind of like the way of saying etc. We use it in a lot of verses, as you probably notice. Shrivasadi, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, meaning Srivasa and all the other devotees. Shravanadi shudichite means hearing and chanting and remembering, serving in all these ways. So by these processes of devotional service, especially by hearing, those original sentiments of devotion will be re-manifest. It's not something to fake it till you make it. And so in that way, we should be really excited about the potential of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. you know, it's not just dry philosophy, but it's about cultivating this mood of attachment for the Lord's service, which is the real solution to attachment for this material body and these mundane, temporary existences. It's the real solution. While going through Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna book, you know, you can sample the flavors of attachment to the Lord. You can sample it. And the Nectar of Devotion, such detail is given there about all the devotees and their different feelings of attachment. And we can experience that this is real, that this is the potential of the cultivation of devotional service. That we're not just kind of going through the motions and performing some sort of ritualistic behavior, but rather we can experience pure love of Krishna if we desire it. So these are all the points that I have on this. Perhaps there are any questions or comments. Thank you very much. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.